Oh, it's just a buzz in the sanctuary. It's so it's good to see you here this morning, and it's good to hear all the buzz, all the excitement. It is a new year, 2020. How many of you have been here for 50 decades? Not 50, five decades. I'll get it right in a minute. Five decades, which would mean 50 years. Have you been here for 50 years? I have. Yes? Yeah. That means you're at least 50 years old. You could be 60, 65, somewhere along there. Okay, yes. We are the older generation. I just thought I'd let you know that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's good to have you here. I'm sure all of you, since we've had New Year's Eve, we've all done New Year's Eve resolutions as far as things that we want to maybe accomplish in this next year or this next new decade, things we want to be involved with. So I want to help you along with that. So if you'd like to turn to the back of your bulletin, you're going to see some ministry opportunities of the week. So if you haven't included any of these, maybe in your thinking about things that you might want to become involved with, consider these for the next coming week or for some time another in this next year as something that you might want to start taking part in, okay? So here we go. On Tuesday mornings at 9:30, our cornea choir is going to be going to Appomattox Rehab. They're not going there to stay. They're going there to present a program for the individuals that reside there. And then after that, they will be going to Granny B's for lunch. So that's an opportunity that if you're not familiar with them, you might come and just visit with them on Tuesdays when they practice and get a feel for what they do, okay? On Wednesdays, oh, we're going to be full-fledged this coming Wednesday. So pay attention and listen because it's lots of stuff going on. At 10:50, there will be Neighbors Helping Neighbors that will be serving their hot meal here in our fellowship hall. That starts at 10:50 and runs until 12:15. That is a local nonprofit that operates out of our fellowship hall and uses our kitchen on Wednesdays, every Wednesday. So that's another opportunity that might be something you'd like to become involved in this year. Starting at 6:30, our children's choir will come back together to meet, and that will include children from the ages of 2 up until the 5th grade. Then at 7 o'clock, we will have our Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. At 7 o'clock also, our ACT teams and our young men will be doing Man Up. And then at 7:30, after the children are out of the choir practice, they will move over to Kids in Action missions. Then on Thursday night, we will have our Sanctuary Bells practice at 6:30. And at 7:30, we will have the Chancellor Choir practice. So there's just a few things, and that's just a short picture of things that you could do to get involved with here at Madison Heights Baptist this year.
Thank you.
Let us stand for the call to worship, which you'll find printed in the bulletin, after which we will join together in a hymn. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
In Christ the Word, our faith has been made visible.
The wise men followed a great light, not knowing where they were going.
Trusting the sign of the star, they found the light of the world.
Today we gather to worship the light of the world, born into human flesh. May the promise and hope we have received through Christ Jesus our Lord shine throughout this land. Let us join together in Shine, Jesus, Shine, found in Celebrating Grace hymnal 156.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, so you do know that I'm over 50. My name is Ellen Saunders, if you are not sure who I am. Anyway, I've been a member of this church for, ever since I was here. So I do want to welcome each of you here, whether you are a church family member or you're visiting with us, or maybe you're here with someone who is a church family member just to be with them. We're glad to have you here. There are many ways to find out about us, and one of the easiest ways is at the entrance out here, or over here at this side, or in the hallway between the fellowship hall and the sanctuary. We have information about the church, ways that you can be involved, ministries that we have that we offer. But we also have a website, Madison Heights Baptist Church, and you can check that out. Or you can call the church office if you have questions that you may not have been able to find answers to. We welcome your questions, and we're glad to have you here with us today. It is a new year and a chance to get involved, so I hope that we'll all take that opportunity to do so. Thank you.
I'll offer my welcome as well and invite you to pray with us. We'll all pray together as well, the Lord's Prayer, so when prompted, join in and we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have brought us faithfully and securely to this new year. You brought us today together and to be with our brothers and sisters to worship you, and for all those gifts we give you thanks. We come to this new year with hopes. We always have hopes in new years, and so we pray this Lord, it's your Lord, that you would help us to reclaim the passion and the joy of being called your children. And as a congregation, that we would enjoy the blessed title you've given us, that you called us the bride of your Son, Jesus Christ, as the church. And so help us to live that out with joy and excitement. As we're celebrating the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that we would feel the light of him in our hearts and our minds, and the clarity that comes with that. And also that today in this year, that the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, would reflect from us into the world. That people would see us, and hopefully they will see something of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we pray for your help in that, Lord. In the world that always seems to be in perilous times, you are our firm place. And we give you thanks. We pray for clarity and wisdom for our leaders. We pray for military personnel who are just this week deploying around the world. Watch over them, watch over their families. And in all the things that go on around the world, help us to find joy in knowing that the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, is being shared places near and far. And so for all those that are sharing it, we pray that you watch over them. Watch over your missionaries wherever they're serving. Help them to be effective. Help them to be faithful. Help them to be encouraged. We lift up to you this church and your church around the world. Forgive us individually. Forgive us corporately when we fail to live out the call of your Son, Jesus Christ. Remind us today when we take the bread and the cup that in your Son, Jesus Christ, we have received forgiveness. We join our voices together, Lord, to pray the way your Son, Jesus, has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus shared the Last Supper with followers, with disciples whom he dearly loved. We share meals with people that we love and care about. We call you family. We call you brothers and sisters. And our prayer today is that in taking the bread and the cup, that you would be reminded that you have been forgiven through Jesus Christ. Jesus shared with his disciples. Matthew shares it this way. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." In sending Jesus into the world, God has given us the light of the world. And so we invite you to sing that. We'll sing together hymn 129, "Jesus, the Light of the World." Stand as you're able as we sing.
Thank you.
you. You may be seated. I've been thinking about what I was going to say when this opportunity came, and my first thought was to use the scripture that Pastor Todd will be using for the sermon today, so I decided, maybe I won't use that, so he'll be reading that right after I would have talked about it. So anyway, so I got to thinking about, we all like to see profit, don't we? We like to put our money in the bank account and see interest make more money for us. If we start a business, we like to invest in the business, but we like to see the business make more money for us, so we all like profit. What I want to suggest to you that if you invest in giving here at Madison Heights Baptist Church, you will see profit. Now, I know a lot of our youth, when they get up here at this moment in time during the service and they share their thoughts about what's important to them with the giving of this church family, they talk about the youth ministries. So I'm going to be really short. I'm going somewhere with this, promise me. So I'm going to talk to you about Sunday school, but I'm going to talk to you about youth too and all of adults and everything. If you give, you provide ministry monies that let us teach our children in Sunday school, teach them in choir, teach them in youth, and believe it or not, the profits come back. Because today we have serving young people that went through that process today as adults. Today we have serving in our Sunday school, in our choirs as leaders, singing in our adult choir, ringing in our handbell choir. I'm not going to step on toes here, but we have people that are going out with our corneas as a cornea member, serving, who came through that program of Sunday school, youth, choirs. So that's our profit, everyone. That is our profit. Our children come, they learn about God through many ministries that are provided through the monies that you give. They come back to us as adults, as church family, and continue to learn and grow and teach others about God. So if you really want to see profit in 2020 this year, put it in the offering plate. Come back next year and see what else is going on, because profit will come back to us. Thank you so much. Let us now worship with our tithes and offering.
Choir is not easing into 2020. What does one do when preaching a passage that so prominently features camels? If one is a graduate of Campbell University, you focus on the camels. If you were to look closely at my tie, you would see lots of little tiny camels all over my tie. Since my alma mater's mascot is the Fighting Camels, I tried really hard. I mean, I really took some time trying to figure out some kind of pithy title for my sermon that involved camels, and nothing came, so you see what you're left with, a shameless title about camels. I apologize. I did honestly spend some time considering the significance of camels in this passage from Isaiah, but not only in this passage, but in the Old Testament in general. When I first begin studying any passage to get ready to preach, I bring the passage up on my computer screen and I start typing in, jotting down questions, and highlighting words or phrases that stick out to me, things that I want to study a little more. What does this mean? Did this word or analogy show up anywhere else in the Bible? Questions like, how did the first readers of this passage read it? What would they have gotten from it? So I asked myself, I typed it in on my computer, what do camels represent in this verse? I looked up the other places where camels are mentioned in the Old Testament. Any guesses on how many? 52. 52 references to camels in the Old Testament, if you're keeping score. And the references are often, they refer to somebody's collection of livestock. In the beginning of Job, he lost all of his camels, along with everything else. And then at the close of the story, we're told, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, including 6,000 camels. And maybe the most notable story involving camels in the Old Testament is Rebekah watering Abraham's camels. Abraham had sent out his son and his people and his camels, apparently, to look for a wife for his son. Rebekah watered his camels and then ends up marrying his son Isaac. And in almost all of those occasions where camels show up, camels seem to represent wealth and provision. It took a lot to take care of these large animals. And camels were a valuable resource in that part of the world. They were transportation. They provided milk. And did you know that they even provided meat? You want a nice camel steak? Maybe it's the way the South Sudanese people view cows. For them, a cow is a sign of abundance. It's a dowry gift given for a marriage. Sometimes daughters are even named the same word that the Sudanese use for cow. Now, we couldn't imagine that in our society. That wouldn't go over as well. But for them, it's such a significant sign of provision, of wealth, of having what you need, that they name their daughters that. And maybe we compared in the Western world to the way we view a safe, comfortable home, signifying the ability to care for and provide for a family. And so that, let's begin with that perspective when we read Isaiah's prophecy today. God's abundance and provision for us and for all people. I invite you to read with me from the prophet Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6, and you may follow along in the bulletin or in your own Bible. I'll read from the New Revised Standard Version, Isaiah 60, 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Let's pray together. Hey, Father, for us, your light has come in Jesus Christ. Let us feel and experience the abundance of your grace and mercy for us. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. What a hopeful word to begin a new year with. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. These images of light and dark are palpable. The way Isaiah talks about the world, it's dark. It's darkened by the world around it, by sin, by corruption. The world was dark, but light has come. The Gospel of John tells us, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Martin Luther King Jr. said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. In Jesus, God has sent the world the remedy for, the only remedy for darkness and hate. Light and love. That light is the glory of God, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ. We can't out-dark darkness, but just a little light begins to dispel any darkness. And Jesus dispels the darkness. I remember being on one of those cave tours. There's caves in North Carolina, the Linville Caverns. They have the stalagmites and stalactites, much like the Luray Caverns here in Virginia. And there's a part of the tour along the way when they cut off all the lights. And you're way back in there. So if you cut off all the lights that far back, it's not just dark. It's all the way dark. I haven't been in years, but I imagine now that people can really mess that up with the phones that we carry around. Can't you just imagine that one guy on the tour, where they turn off all the lights and somebody's got to turn on the flashlight on their iPhone, just ruin it for everybody. But just a little bit of light, when it's that dark, changes everything. And that's what God has sent into the world. The light of God draws people to it. And our prayer should be that all people would be drawn to the light of God, Jesus Christ. That all sorts of people, neighbors and strangers, would become brothers and sisters. We should pray that all of our leaders, near and far, would have the light of Christ in their lives as they lead others and make decisions on behalf of others. But Isaiah promised that nations would see the light, that kings and leaders would see the light and be drawn to it. It's a hopeful word. Isaiah writes about this light in a way that suggests people who are far off will come back. It's a reminder that Christ reconciles people not only to God, but person to person. That God reconciles people in the midst of broken relationships. It's a reminder that He's the healer of brokenness not only in our bodies, but in our minds, spirits, and relationships. Christ's love is the love that invites the prodigal to come home. God promises sight and rejoicing, abundance, joy, and provision. And as I said, I focused a lot on that sixth verse. The passage closes on verse 6. And of course, when we read verse 6 with prophecies of camels and frankincense and gold, what comes to mind? The Magi making their way with their gifts. We bring up those images of three Magi, even though the scripture never says there were three of them. We've always imagined three in our minds, riding on camels, bringing their costly gifts to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. These Magi followed the teachings of Zoroaster, and they believed that God would send prophet kings into the world through miraculous divine births. They watched the stars looking for these births that would bring a Savior for the people. So for Matthew, not only is Jesus the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies like Isaiah's that we've read today, but he's also the fulfillment of Gentile prophecies. These Magi made the journey to honor a newborn king, to pay respect. In the midst of all of that, we know the story. They find themselves making a clandestine return out of Bethlehem, away from Herod, and returning home another way in order to protect this little family. Tomorrow is Epiphany. We celebrate it today. Epiphany is a feast day for much of the Christian church around the world. It's a day that commemorates the Magi going to visit the Holy Family in Bethlehem. It remembers the long journey that they took there and the gifts that they brought. What does that mean for us on a deeper level? Epiphany represents the manifestation of God to Gentiles, people outside of the Jewish faith. The Magi weren't Jews, but Zoroastrian priests from Persia. And their inclusion in the story highlights that some of the first people to grasp Jesus' identity and to understand the impact he would have on the world weren't the religious insiders like priests and rabbis. It wasn't those with worldly power like Herod. It was the foreign clergy of another religion. They saw Jesus for who he was, and they responded in kind. And that knowledge demanded a choice from them. If they can see the Christ child and his true identity, so can we. If they can be included in God's story, guess what? So can we. That's what God has given us in Jesus Christ. He's given us out of the abundance of his love and grace for us. He's given us himself. God incarnate in Jesus Christ, a Savior for the world. This great provision of God that far outscales any number of camels is our provision of grace and light to cast out darkness and sin. Our provision of God's love in the world experienced through the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Arise, for your light has come. Jesus Christ. And so how will that light be reflected in us in the year ahead? That light, Isaiah promises, is for all the people, all the nations, the high and the lowly, kings and servants. God has offered his very best in Jesus Christ. And so let them see it in us. Let his light be reflected in us in the year ahead of us. We invite you to receive this Son of God, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior, your Messiah, to make him the Lord of your life, and to allow his light to reflect on you and in you and through you. And we invite you to be a part of God's family, to be brought close to Him through the grace of Jesus Christ, to be forgiven of your sins, to be baptized into Jesus. We invite you to come. Our hymn invitation this morning is 159, Fairest Lord Jesus. We invite you to stand, to sing, and to respond in faith. Let us worship together in song. Join me in our benediction this morning. Arise, shine, for the light of the world has come.
When darkness seems to cover everything, the light of God comes like radiant dawn to brighten the world.
Arise, shine, for the light of the world has come. Alleluia and Amen. Happy New Year.